हरिः ओम् तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ओम् ओम् सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् देवाय तस्मै नमः ॐ श्रीपरमात्मने नमः वी हाव् टु रिमेम्बर् दट् भगवद्गीता consisting of 18 chapters are divided into 3 parts of 6 chapters each, known as shatkams. Prathama shatkam, first 6 chapters, discuss mainly swarupam of an individual and karma yogaha, a way of life one needs to follow to prepare one's mind for jnanam. The second set of 6 chapters discuss the swarupam of the whole, Ishvara swarupam. And there again, another main topic we understand is anugraha, Ishvara anugraha. Once you, in the first 6 chapters, along with the essential understanding or the essential nature of the individual, we also understand how I must make the best use of my willpower. Thereby, I can tap Bhagavan's grace, Ishvara Anugraha. Ishvara Anugraha is discussed along with the main topic of Bhagavan's Ishvara Swarupam in the second six chapters up to the 12th chapter. And you're supposed to start the 12th chapter today. And the next, from the 13th onwards, we will understand how essentially this individual and the total is one and the same. Thereby, what is essentially the only truth of the whole. The essential oneness of the truth of everything, by way of understanding the essential oneness of the individual and the each total, will be discussed in the next set of 6 chapters. So in these 6 chapters, from the 7th chapter onwards, I'll be doing the summary also of each chapter again. From 7th chapter onwards, if we take 7th chapter, 8th chapter and 9th chapter, if these take these 3, mainly you understand Bhagavan being the Abhinna Nimitta Upadana Karanam. It means, even though Bhagavan is nothing but the very truth, very reality, formless, abstract reality is Bhagavan. Bhagavan or Ishwaraha is only a qualification attributed to the very reality. And then, even though reality is not neither the cause nor an effect, still from the standpoint of the universe, there cannot be a universe without Bhagavan, the truth. Therefore, from the standpoint of the universe, Bhagavan is looked upon as the cause of the universe. Intelligent cause of the universe is another than Bhagavan. Material cause of the universe is another than Bhagavan. Even the instrumental cause of the universe is another than Bhagavan. Not only that, is there a knower other than Bhagavan? No. Is there a known other than Bhagavan? No. Is there knowledge other than Bhagavan? No. Is Bhagavan knower and no knowledge? No. Bhagavan is essentially the very truth, distinct from everything, but not distant from everything. Therefore, everything is Bhagavan. Bhagavan is not anything. So, this fact is made very clear. From the standpoint of Bhagavan, you have to say all that is there is only Bhagavan. The standpoint of universe, you can say the universe is nothing but Bhagavan. And so, And in the 8th chapter also we understood how even karma phalam, upasana phalam, any result, whether result in terms of gaining the higher pleasures of higher lokas or the worldly pleasures, any result is ordained by Bhagavan in the form of law and order. Karma, there is no karma pradata other than Bhagavan. Therefore, he is an experiencer of karma phalam other than Bhagavan. No, the experiencer of karma phalam also is none other than Bhagavan. So, Ajnani Jivatma is Bhagavan, Jnani Mahatma is also Bhagavan. Everything is Bhagavan. So, in the 10th chapter, we understand everything is vibhuti. Any mahima, any vibhuti, any glory is glory of Bhagavan. So whoever enjoys any glory, anything praiseworthy, laudable, that is because of the blessing of Bhagavan. Therefore, essentially, we appreciate everything as Bhagavan. So when you appreciate everything as Bhagavan, you see Bhagavan in everything. So if we are able to see Bhagavan in everything, then that is seeing Bhagavan's vibhuti, the content of the 10th chapter. And instead of seeing Bhagavan in everything, seeing everything as Bhagavan, which is Vishwarupa Darshanam. Okay, this is the only difference between the Vibhuti Yoga and the Vishwarupa Darshana Yoga. You see, Bhagavan alone in everything is all glories, all glorious things, which Vibhuti Yoga. The whole universe, Bhagavan is not in the universe. Universe and Bhagavan, the whole universe is Bhagavan when you say it is Vishwarupa Darshanam. Now we have to enter into this next chapter, 12th chapter, Bhakti Yoga. Shankara Mukhopadhyaya makes it very clear when he states that this Bhakti Yoga is a very unique, a significant, the chapter consisting of significant subject matter. The entire Bhagavad Gita is a unique, significant work. But Bhakti Yoga definitely is a unique chapter presenting a significant subject matter. And of all the 18 chapters, the second 12th chapter and the 15th chapter are the smallest chapters, consisting only of 20 verses. So, the title itself is Bhakti Yoga. So, Bhakti Yoga means what? Bhakti Yoga is not a separate path. Bhakti Yoga is not a separate path. Bhakti is not a separate path. Bhakti is only a title, the topic of this chapter. The content, the subject matter, the topic of the 12th chapter happens to be devotion, bhakti. The chapter also is known as Bhakti Yoga. So, the whole Bhakti Yoga can be easily divided into two main topics. What are the important contents presented in this Bhakti Yoga, if we take, analyze? The first topic, you know, goes up to the first verse to the 12th verse. So first, I can even say, 12th verse. First 12 verses present, you know, Bhakti. What is Bhakti is made very clear in the first 12 verses. And next topic discussed is from the 13th verse onwards, and the rest of the 8 verses from 13th to the 20th, Bhagavan discusses the benefit of the Bhakti. Okay. Only these two topics. two topics cover the whole chapter, Bhaktihi and its phalam, benefit of bhakti. So, what is Bhaktihi then? We must be very careful and understanding it. We have our own understanding of the word Bhaktihi. Even though the word Bhaktihi literally means love. So, love for happiness, Ananda Bhaktihi. Love for happiness is love for moksha, and love for moksha is actually love for the truth. Love for the truth, knowledge of the truth, is love for one's own self. That is why it is said, Atmanastu kamaya sarvam priyam bhavati. Ultimately, love for one's own self is a thing but love for happiness. Love for happiness is love for Bhagavan, love for knowledge of the truth, love for Bhagavan also is love for happiness. Love for moksha, love for Bhagavan, love for happiness is one and the same. That is why Bhaktihi. If love for Bhagavan is for love for moksha is understood, then that is bhakti. Love is bhakti. So, in presenting the first topic of bhakti, what is bhakti? Definitely, Bhagavan Krishna removes lot of our misconceptions, wrong understanding of bhakti, confusions we have regarding bhakti. So, according to Bhagavan, bhaktihi is nothing but the subject matter of the shastram. What is the subject matter of the shastram? What is the shastram? Veda is the shastram. Subject matter of the Veda is the subject matter of the shastram. And the subject matter alone constitutes bhaktihi, forms bhaktihi. What is the subject matter of shastram? If you analyze, the entire shastram is divided into threefold disciplines. Even though we say karma kanda, upasana kanda and jnana kanda, those, the study of the subject matter of the shastram and living one's knowledge, living one's life in conformity with the teaching, converts that knowledge into a yoga. So, studying the scripture, understanding the scripture, living one's life in conformity with one's understanding of the teaching, converts the subject matter into a yoga, a discipline. So, the three topics, the three disciplines prescribed by the Shastram for every human being, ultimately to accomplish the end, Purushartha called Moksha, or we can say Karma Yoga. Karma Yoga is a first discipline. Upasanam is also discipline. Therefore, it can be called Upasana Yoga. Then, pursuit of Jnanam is a discipline. Therefore, Jnanam is also known as Jnana Yoga. Karma, Upasanam, Jnanam. All the three. If you add the word Yoga, then it becomes a discipline. Karma has to be converted into Karma Yoga. Meditation has to be converted into a yoga. Even pursuit of jnanam becomes a discipline. Therefore, it is a yoga, jnana yoga. So, all these three topics can be converted into three disciplines by adding the word yoga, only if a person studies the scripture as a spiritual aspirant, as a spiritual seeker, without having any aspiration for moksha also, a person simply can be interested in studying the Veda sometimes out of curiosity or for an academic purpose. With an academic interest also, a person can approach the Shastra. If a person approaches the Shastra as with an academic interest, just to know, there are people who want to develop themselves into intellectuals and they want to study everything and everything, everything. There is no aspiration for moksha. But here, anybody who understands that value of moksha, who knows what moksha is all about, if a person has to understand what moksha is, he must have very clear understanding of what samsara is. It's very important, because many people cannot even understand samsara, do not understand samsara, and do not even accept, some people do not accept the samsara being the problem. It is like a sick person who approaches the doctor, you know, who doesn't even know he is sick. Therefore, there's no way of the sick person approaching a doctor or getting appropriate medicine. So he'll be suffering the same disease all the time, but he doesn't recognize he's sick. Sometimes symptomless disease, sometimes symptomful disease, but some people do not recognize they are sick. But only if a person recognizes his sickness and he can approach a doctor for appropriate medication. The doctor can prescribe his medication when he really approaches the doctor. No doctor can run after the patient, come, I'll give you medicine, you are not sick. It's not possible. So here also, every human being is sick with the disease of ignorance. Every human being who is born in this world has this common, uniform sickness of ignorance of the truth. And ignorance of the truth is actually ignorance of one's own real nature. One can have the knowledge of many, many, many things. One can have one's identity, etc., based on one's upadis, but actually there's an inborn, innate ignorance, natural ignorance of the essential nature of oneself, which is otherwise said to be ignorance of the truth. And the Shastram looks at this ignorance itself as rogaha, disease, bhava rogaha. This ignorance is the bhava roga, because this ignorance is the root cause of the disease of being caught up helplessly into this beginningless, endless cycle of samsara. There is samsara, and which is beginningless, which is endless. In this beginningless, endless cycle of life of transmigration, we are shifting, moving from one body to another body. And this in between birth and death, we do go through this pairs of opposites, afflictions. Really, we do not understand this. We do not accept the fact the life does not come to an end with the death of this physical body. If we remember this, we will definitely think there is life is going to continue. Please remember this. Death of this physical body is not an end of the life. Therefore, samsara is a beginningless, endless cycle. And when you are born in this world as a human being, there's an opportunity for a human being to make the best use of this span of life, to discover the truth obtaining as one's own essential nature, thereby to break this unbreakable cycle of life of transmigration to come out of it. It is possible. So, if a person acknowledges this problem, then he can approach the teacher who is like a doctor, Bhavaroga Bishak. Bhavaroga Bishak is doctor, is our teacher, is the doctor here, Dakshinamurti, or any local teacher. Then this doctor can give you, Bhavaroga Bishak can give you Bheshajam, medicine of Jnanam. Jnanam is the only medicine for which the doctor is the teacher. And so one can get this Jnanam, knowledge, which is the medicine, thereby one can get oneself relieved of this disease of samsara. One can free oneself from this disease of bondage of samsara. So when a person understands this problem and he wants to break this unbreakable, continuous, beginningless, endless cycle of births and deaths, samsara, and when a person wants that freedom from bondage, and which actually, that is what is actually real happiness is, then a person wants his freedom from bondage, for which he acknowledges knowledge as being the only means. Then for accomplishing that jnanam, having that jnanam as a goal of his life, when a person lives his life, then only we can call him a spiritual person. For such a spiritual person alone, Vedic teaching becomes a discipline. There are three disciplines prescribed by the Shastram. And those three disciplines are, I said, Karma Yogaha, Upasana Yogaha, and Jnana Yogaha. Karma, Upasanam, Jnanam. And Shankaracharya writes, all these three disciplines together constitute Bhaktihi. What is Bhaktihi, if you ask? Karma Yogaha, Upasanam, Jnanam. All the three together constitute Bhaktihi. So once you know the value of knowledge, then you become committed to the pursuit of Jnanam. Then the commitment to the pursuit of the Jnanam, thereby being given to the study of the scripture. Okay, Jnanam becomes the goal, then you are a real devotee, Jignasa Bhaktaha. Suppose you attain the Jnanam, then as a Jnanam, Jnani is the exalted of the devotees. We saw already in the previous chapters. So all these three disciplines, karma, living a life of Karma Yogaha, even worship, prayer, Upasanam comprises of even worship and prayer. Upasanam, prayer, worship also finally should culminate in what? Everything should finally culminate in the vision of the truth, which is Bhagavan, which is Bhagavat Sakshatkaraha. Therefore, Bhaktihi is not simply one thing. Everything, all the three disciplines constitute Bhaktihi. But which discipline should be followed by whom? Any bhakta, in keeping with one's mental preparedness, he will be given to that particular discipline. The person is not yet adequately prepared for Jnanam. Naturally, having Bhagavan as the goal, he will be given to the discipline of Karma Yoga. So a person who lives a life of Karma Yoga is definitely a person of Purusharthanischeha, who is committed to the pursuit of jnanam, but at the same time, who wants to, who is very keen and serious to in preparing his mind for jnanam, such a serious devotee who lives a keen life of karma yoga. He commits himself to live a life of karma yoga, to follow this discipline of karma yoga. Why? Because for him, Bhagavan is the ultimate goal. Jnanam is the ultimate goal. That is why whatever he does in this world becomes yoga for him. And that such a person, karma yoga is bhaktihi. A person who lives a life of karma yoga is devotee, bhaktaha. So also having jnanam as the ultimate goal, moksha as the ultimate goal, having Bhagavan as the priority in one's life, a person who is given to the discipline of worshipping or praying or going to the temples or singing or chanting, whatever a person is doing, if a person is given to the discipline of meditation also, even only then even meditation becomes yoga. If Bhagavan is not your goal, if moksha is not the goal, jnanam is not the goal, if a person is given to simply the practice of any the amount of meditation, his meditation is only a mental activity which can help him with some time-bound results, but definitely you cannot call it a yoga. It does not become yoga. You know, then that's also yoga. Suppose the person is, the person with the knowledge of his moksha being the ultimate goal, with his commitment to the pursuit of jnanam, if the person is given to the discipline of jnana yoga in terms of shravanam, he may be doing shravanam, or if he has done adequate degree of shravanam, if he is given to the discipline of mananam or the dhyasanam, then a person is really a bhakta. So who is a bhakta? What is bhaktihi? So Shankara Bhagavatpada makes it very clear. Shastra makes it very clear. All these three disciplines together constitute bhaktihi. So bhakti is a common element in all three of them. What is the common element? If the goal is moksha and jnanam, knowledge of the truth is the ultimate goal, the truth happens to be Bhagavan, then Bhagavan fills the life of a karma yogi, Bhagavan fills the life of a meditator, Bhagavan fills the life of the person who is given to the pursuit of jnanam. It is not at all academic pursuit. It is not done with an academic interest. It is purely for one's own upliftment. That is the difference. Okay. Minus Bhagavan, what karma yoga? How can there be karma becoming yoga without bringing Bhagavan into one's life? How can there be meditation without Bhagavan be called a yoga? How can there be even pursuit of jnanam without Bhagavan, with Bhagavan as the goal, be a spiritual sadhana? No. It must become a spiritual sadhana. Only then it is called a spiritual sadhana is bhakti. All these three spiritual sadhanas, why all the three are sequentially important. They had to be followed sequentially by an individual. Every individual who goes through systematically or in keeping with one's readiness, one can take the suitable discipline. Therefore, all the disciplines should finally culminate in the vision of the truth, which is Bhagavan. Therefore, all the three disciplines are said to be bhaktihi. The first verse begins like this. Until now, we heard this word bhaktihi in different contexts. Already you know these four types of bhaktas Bhagavan discussed. You have to remember that. It is not in this chapter. You have to remember the topic. What is artha bhaktaha? One who is praying to Bhagavan only when he is in trouble, distress. Or arthi bhaktaha, who who is praying to Bhagavan only having Arthakamas as the ends. Is it possible to call them Bhaktas? Yes. At least they are remembering Bhagavan, thinking of Bhagavan, praying to Bhagavan. Whenever a person starts praying, even without having any big goal, oh Lord, please relieve me from this distress. He calls Bhagavan means that is the slightest, slightest method of effort of thinning, weakening his ahankara. Your pray means you already ahankara becomes little less. Prayer means you're seeking help. Seeking help means what? There's the slightest, even the least degree of effort of thinning, weakening your ahankara. Therefore, artha bhaktaha, at least some punyam will earn. Arthi bhaktaha, some punyam he will earn. But Shastra Bhagavan says, a real spiritual person who's aspiring for jnanam, who's desperate for jnanam is Jignasu Bhaktaha, the real devotee. And this, a serious person who was keen about getting jnanam, when he accomplishes jnanam, attains jnanam, then he sees Bhagavan as one's own swarupam, then the Jnani Bhaktaha is the best of the devotees. We know this already. This much you must remember in this topic before we entering there. Then also, if the artha only Bhagavan is the ultimate goal, it is a parabhaktihi. Jnanam is the ultimate goal. Jnanam, Bhagavan, Mokshaha, all the three together constitute one ultimate end. That is jnanam. When you say that is parabhaktihi. Seeking Bhagavan's help for any other accomplishments also, seeking Bhagavan's grace is not a problem. Still, it's also bhaktihi, but still, Shastram says, having moksha as the ultimate goal and jnanam as something identical with that moksha, when a person is given to any of these three disciplines in keeping with his level of maturity, then every discipline is a bhaktihi. The person is in the right track. He will not be misguided. He will not be distracted. He is in the right track. He is in a smooth track. His journey will be comfortable, smooth, hazard free. Okay. He will not get into any trouble. But he must be any one of these tracks, karma yoga or upasanam, or all the three are the same track. One is ahead, one is in the middle, one is at the back. But all of them will be arriving at the same end sequentially, depending upon where you are. Okay. Therefore, this is Bhakti Yoga, introduction to Bhakti Yoga. Let us see gradually now, verse by verse.
Om Shri Paramatmane Namaha Atha Dvadashodhyayah Arjuna Uvacha Evam Satata Yuktaye Bhaktastvam Pariyupasate Evam satata yuktaye bhaktastvam pariyupasate ye chapyaksharamau yaktam tesham ke yoga vittamaha ye chapyaksharamau yaktam tesham ke yoga vittamaha.
So in this 12th chapter, the first verse begins with Arjuna's question. The word evam, so Arjunaha uvacha, Arjuna had asked, Arjuna had said, See, evam means in this manner. This in why he mentions in this manner? Because he also connects it with the previous chapter. So we'll see the connection later on. Let me do see the other verse. He's asking the question, hey Krishna, ke yoga vittamaha, ke yoga vittamaha. It's a very nice word, yoga vittamaha. Ke is means who or all, who plural verb, interrogative pronoun, plural is ke, yavarhal, who or all, yoga vittamaha. See, yoga vit means the one who has the absolute wisdom, ultimate truth is yoga vit. So yoga vit tamaha means the best of the yogis, the best of the men of wisdom. Any man of wisdom is best. Wesley is asking, yoga with it himself is a man of wisdom. Yoga with taraha, better man of wisdom. The best of the men of wisdom. So who are the best, the men of wisdom, the best of among the men of wisdom? Yoga with tamaha ke. Yogavit taraha, yogavit tamaha, singular. Yogavit tamaha ke, Krishna. Who are the best of the devotees? Who are the best among the men of wisdom? He is comparing here. Ye means those people, those who. Bhaktaha, ye bhaktaha, those devotees. Ye bhaktaha, those devotees. Satata yuktaha, ye bhaktaha, satata yuktaha. Yukta means the one whose mind is focused on Bhagavan. It's called yukta. Satata yuktaha means, satatam means always. Satatam yukta. Satatam yuktam manamsi yesham. Means satata yuktaha means those people who are ever steadfast. Satata yuktaha, who are ever steadfast. Satata yuktaha bhaktaha. Then paryupasate means in all situations, who are always meditative. Paryupasate, who are always meditative. Ye bhaktaha. Satata yuktaha paryupasate. Those devotees who are always meditative, or who always meditate, remaining steadfast, ever steadfast. They're ever steadfast, ever meditative. Ever meditate upon you. So, Tvam Paryupasa, Tvam, you. Those devotees who meditate upon you all the time, remaining ever steadfast. Satata yuktaha bhaktaha. Ye bhaktaha satata yuktaha tvam paryupasate. Then he says, ye cha, and also those people, ye cha api aksharam avyaktam. Aksharam avyaktam tvam paryupasate. And those people who meditate upon you as what? Aksharam. அக்ஷரம், அக்ஷரம் மீன்ஸ் ந க்ஷரதி இத்தி அக்ஷரம், இம்பெரிஷபிள். வி கேம் அக்ராஸ் திஸ் வேர்ட் ஈவன் முண்டகோபனிஷத், அக்ஷரம் சோ இம்பெரிஷபிள். அவ்யக்தம், சி வியக்தம் மீன்ஸ் தி மேனிஃபெஸ்ட் ஈஸ்வரா, அவ்யக்தம் மீன்ஸ் தி ட்ரூத், வெரி ட்ரூத், அப்ட்ராக்ட் ட்ரூத். தேஷாம், ஆஃப் ஆல் ஆஃப் தம், தெர் ஆர் யுவர் டெவோட்டீஸ் கிருஷ்ணா, ஹூ ஆர் ஸ்டெட்ஃபாஸ்ட், எவர் ஸ்டெட்ஃபாஸ்ட், அண்ட் தெர் டெவோட்டீஸ் ஹூ நாட் ஒன்லி ஆர் தே எவர் ஸ்டெட்ஃபாஸ்ட், ஹூ மெடிடேட் அப்பான் யூ. ஏவம் மீன்ஸ் as in the previously in other chapters how Bhagavan was described as meditate, as described upon, meditate upon you as described in the previous chapters, and or who meditate upon you as the imperishable abstract very truth. Avyaktam aksharam cha paryupasate tesham, of all those so many devotees who are contemplating upon you, upon your swarupam as the imperishable truth, imperishable, invisible, unmanifested truth, and who are steadfast in the devotion of them, who are yogavittamaha, who are the best of the devotees. This is the first question. Ye bhaktaha satata yuktaha yecha api aksharam avyaktam tvam paryupasate tesham ke yogavittamaha. Krishna, he didn't say Krishna. Okay, I'm adding the word. Hey Krishna, who are the K, who are the best among those devotees, who are the best of the devotees, among those devotees who are ever steadfast, who contemplate upon you as, who meditate upon you as described in the previous chapters, or those who dwell upon, contemplate upon your imperishable, invisible, unmanifest nature, swarupam, who are the best of the devotees? Like this, the chapter, first chapter, the 12th chapter begins with Arjuna's question. And whenever a question begins, continues, begins as part of the conversation, you know, in Taittiriya Upanishad also you saw, you are going to see, the question based on the teaching is called Anuprashnaha. The question based on the teaching is called Anuprashnaha. Not simply asking some question. Based on the teaching. Which means, what Arjuna wants to know here, there's a person who meditates upon Bhagavan as described in the previous chapters. Which means the meditation upon Ishvara, Bhagavan, as a Sagunam Brahma, Saguna Ishvaraha. There are people who meditate upon Bhagavan as described in the previous chapters. And those meditators are said to be Saguna Upasakaha, those who worship pray to Bhagavan, worship Bhagavan, meditate upon Bhagavan as described in the previous chapters. Avishwarupa Dhyanam or Bhagavad Vibhuti Dhyanam, whoever is doing, they known as Saguna Upasakaha. And there are also people who contemplate upon the very Swarupam of Bhagavan obtaining as the very self. They are Nirguna Upasakaha. So Saguna Upasakaha and Nirguna Upasakaha. What is the difference? If a person sees everything as Bhagavan's Vibhuti, it is Saguna Upasana. If a person sees the whole cosmos as Bhagavan, it is Saguna Upasana. This is meditation, which should precede the, which is before the attainment of what Bhagavan Swarup, knowledge of what Bhagavan Swarupam is. See, if a person lives a life of Karma Yoga with appropriate attitude towards everything, then his life is a life of meditation, no doubt. A person prays, worships, sings in praise of God, etc. Karma Yoga, because everything he does with an appropriate attitude of offering to Bhagavan, that is also meditative life. But apart from specifically, not only he does the mundane activities with the proper attitude, but also specifically he spares time exclusively for meditating upon Bhagavan. Then, if a person in Vibhut Yoga, we saw how to appreciate any greatness, anything glorious in everybody as Bhagavan. That is also meditation. That is Vibhuti Dhyanam. It's a Saguna Brahma Dhyanam. And now, seeing, not simply seeing one thing as Bhagavan, but appreciating the fact of the whole cosmos being Bhagavan's Rupam, there is also meditation, which is also Saguna Brahma Upasanam. Whereas, Nirguna Brahma Upasakaha is the one who does not meditate upon Vishwarupam of Bhagavan or Vibhuti of Bhagavan, who meditate upon Arupam of Bhagavan, the formless, attributeless, abstract Swarupam of Bhagavan, obtaining as one's own real nature. As what Aksharam, the indestructible, imperishable, absolute reality, which is avyaktam, which is not perceptible, which is not an object of knowledge. When people who contemplate upon the very abstract reality, which is avyaktam, which is not a perceptible object, and which is also aksharam, imperishable, abstract reality, and that abstract reality obtaining as the very self. That is, okay, people who are involved in contemplation upon the very reality, which is Bhagavan Swarupam, obtaining as one's own self, is called a Nirguna Brahma Upasanam. So contemplation and meditation. So now Arjuna's question is, all of them are devotees. Even if the word literally means yogavittamaha, means a man of wisdom, of all these devotees, people who are meditating upon Sagunamupa, Saguna Brahma, or people meditating upon Bhagavan as Saguna Brahma, people who are contemplating upon Bhagavan's very Swarupam as Nirgunam Brahma, of them, he's asking, who are the best of the devotees? Saguna Upasakaha or Nirguna Upasakaha? Who are superior? In other ways, he's asking whether Saguna Brahma Jnanam is superior or Nirguna Brahma Jnanam is superior. Which is superior? or which is the best, who are the best among the devotees, whether Saguna Brahma Upasakaha or Nirguna Brahma Upasakaha. That is the question he is asking. Here, Satata Yuktaha Bhaktaha ye Bhaktaha Satata Yuktaha Twam Paryupasate. See, Satata Yukta ye Bhaktaha Satata Yuktaha Twam Paryupasate. Those devotees. Second, he says, Yecha Aksharam Avyaktam. We have to supply the verb again, Paryupasate. Tesham Ke Yogavittamaha. Who are the best of the devotees? Among these two types of devotees, who meditate upon the Sagunarupam, or who meditate upon the attributeless, abstract nature? So in the first line, Ye Bhaktaha Satata Yuktaha Twam Paryupasate. The first line, okay, Saguna Upasakaha, the devotee who is a Saguna Upasakaha is mentioned. All those Saguna Upasakas are mentioned in the first line. The second line, the people who are given to the discipline of contemplating upon Bhagavan's Rupam, they are mentioned. Second line. But anyway, whether Saguna Upasakaha or Nirguna Upasakaha, how they are involved in meditation? Satatam Yuktaha Satata Yuktaha. So, with the focused attention, with the great Shraddha, constantly they are committed to the discipline of meditation. That's why Satata Yuktaha steadfast in their devotion to Bhagavan. Again, the Saguna, when you say Saguna Upasakaha or Saguna Brahma Upasakaha, means not only meditators, all devotees, whoever worships, prays to Bhagavan in whichever given form, all of them come under the category of Saguna Upasakaha or Saguna Bhaktaha. If a person invokes the grace of Bhagavan in any one given form, then his devotion to Bhagavan is expressed in by worshipping a one given form. It is called what? His devotion to Bhagavan is what? Sil Eka Rupa Bhaktihi. Saint Tyagaraja, such a great man. And his own music will show. Towards the end, he wrote all highly Advaita. No. Songs of Advaita. Whereas in the beginning, he was very emotionally attached to Lord Rama's Murti. He was so attached to Lord Rama's Murti. Such a great man, great person. Amazingly great mind. So that Jayaraja Swami was attached to one Rama's Murti. Suppose if a person is very committed to Bhagavan, he always invokes Bhagavan. So if the seriously, sincerely, totally committed to Bhagavan's worship in one given form, and his devotion is Eka Rupa Bhaktihi. Eka Rupa Bhaktihi. So Eka Rupa Bhaktihi, then Aneka Rupa Bhaktihi or Vishwa Rupa Bhaktihi. means seeing, appreciating Bhagavan as everything in this universe. All that is here is only Bhagavan. Everything comes into existence from Bhagavan. Everything exists in Bhagavan. Everything resolves in Bhagavan. The person who has such a reverence for Bhagavan and who sees the whole world as Bhagavan, who meditates upon Bhagavan as the whole, or Bhagavan as the, okay, as the whole, then such a devotion, such a bhakti is called, it's also called Sagnarupa Bhakti. Whether a person involves Ekarupam or Anekarupam or Vishwarupam, still it is called only Saguna Brahma Upasana. That is why that word Evam, in this manner, when Arjuna says, he mentions there are people who sees Bhagavan's Vibhuti everywhere. They meditate upon. And who appreciate Bhagavan as the whole form in the 11th chapter. Saguna Upasakaha. So, Ekarupa Bhakti, Anekarupa Bhakti, Vishwarupa Bhakti all come under Saguna Upasanam only. But still, there are people also who do not meditate upon Bhagavan in any given form, or they see, they appreciate everything is Bhagavan's form. It's okay, but what Bhagavan is essentially? Bhagavan, the whole universe is Bhagavan's form, but still Bhagavan is essentially not the universe. Bhagavan is of the imperishable. Bhagavan is the very abstract reality which is imperishable and which is also imperceptible. Imperishable and imperceptible. And such people who would have, they would have understood that Bhagavan Swarupam being imperishable and indestructible or imperceptible only as their own very nature. Such people who are given to the contemplation, discipline of contemplation upon Bhagavan's real nature obtaining as one's own self, they're also devotees. Nirguna Brahma Upasakas. Nirguna Brahma Upasakaha. Because they dwell upon Bhagavan's abstract form, abstract nature, attributeless nature. So they are known as Nirguna Brahma Upasakaha. Now Arjuna, so he's asking, of these devotees, some are very, with a total commitment, they are dwelling upon your, they are involved in Saguna Brahma Upasanam. There are some devotees who are totally committed to Nirguna Brahma Upasanam, of them who are Yogavittamaha. Who are the best among these devotees? Shri Bhagavan Uvacha. By way of answering Arjuna's question, Bhagavan will remove all our confusions. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha. Mayeva. Say, Mayaveshyamano Yemam. Nityayuktavupasate. Mayaveshyamano Yemam. Nityayuktavupasate. Upasate Shraddhaya Parayopetaha Te Me Yuktata Mamataha Maya Veshyamano Yemam Nitya Yukta Upasate Maya Veshyamano Yemam Nitya Yukta Upasate Shraddhaya Parayopetaha Shraddhaya Parayopetaha Te Me Yuktata Mamataha Te Me Yuktata
ततमामताः. मय्यावेश्यमनो ये माम् नित्ययुक्तावुपासते श्रद्धया परयोपेताः ते मे युक्ततमामताः.
He's asking, Bhagavan now answers, Shri Bhagavan Uvacha. He says, Te yukta tamaha. He asks yoga vittamaha ke. Now Bhagavan says, Te yukta tamaha. See, yuktaha, no? Yuktaha itself means the one who is, no, one who is already. Yuktaha means one who is totally committed to Bhagavan is Yuktaha. One who is integrated, minded is called Yuktaha. The one whose thought, word and deed are in alignment, having Bhagavan as the goal, he is called Yuktaha. And Yukta Taraha, better devotee. Yukta Tamaha, the best of the devotees. So, Yoga Vittamaha Ke was Arjuna's question. Bhagavan says Yoga Vittamaha. He, instead of saying Yoga Vittamaha, he says Yukta Tamaha. Same meaning. Who are the best of the devotees? The word yogi is used in the sense of a bhaktaha. Okay, who are the best of the devotees? He says, Yukta Tamaha, Me Mataha. It, Arjuna, these are the people who are considered by me to be the best of the devotees. Te Yukta Tamaha, Me Mataha. They are considered to be the most exalted of the devotees. The best of devotees in my view, my wish, my view. Bhagavan says, who are they? He says, very nice, beautiful words. Mayi means in me. Mayi aveshya. Okay, manaha. Manaha mayi aveshya. Manaha, manasi, me avesham, having brought their mind into me. Aveshya, nurettu, okay, literally means what? Having fixed or having brought their attention of the mind to me. Having placed their mind in me. Manaha mayi aveshya, having placed their mind totally in me, means the real devotee's mind is not available for anything else. Why? Mind is not available for anything else because mind is already placed in Bhagavan. Mind is placed in Bhagavan. Mayi manaha aveshayati. Aveshayati means he places his mind in me. So aveshya, having placed his mind in me, means having focused his attention on me, having fixed his mind in me. Mayi aveshya, manaha aveshya. See, there's no point in, you cannot do fix your body in Bhagavan. Okay, one mind must be placed in Bhagavan. Then the body will just do whatever the mind decides. Okay, mind alone can take the body. Mind can involve body in whatever the mind is interested. So here, mayeva mana mayi avesha means having fixed one's mind in me, having placed one's mind in me, mayi avesha. The nitya yuktaha. And the people having placed their mind in me, they nityayuktaha, remaining ever steadfast, nityayuktaha, no, paryupasate, they meditate, they worship. How? Paraya shaddhaya upetaha. That's very important. Paraya shaddhaya upetaha. With the great shaddha. Paraya, para shaddha means the total unflinching great shaddha in Bhagavan. And having placed their minds totally in Bhagavan, me, Bhagavan says, Mayyeva manaha avesha nityayuktaha. Okay, ever steadfast. And then shaddhaya paraya upetaha. So who are endowed with the shaddha, great exalted shaddha. Shaddhaya paraya upetaha. Te me yuktatamaha. They are the best of the devotees in my view. Krishna says. So, placing their mind in me, and who with great shaddha meditate upon me, worship me, they are the best of the devotees. This is Krishna's view of who is the best. So Arjuna was asking among those people who were the best, and Krishna tells who is the best. Mayi manaha avesha nitya yuktaha paraya shaddhya upaitaha ye mam upasate te yukta tamaha mataha. Arjuna, in my view, in my contention, they are the best of the devotees, yukta tamaha, who place their mind in me totally, and thereby who meditate upon me with the great shraddha, and those people are the best of the devotees. Mayyeva manaha avesha paraya shraddhaya nityayuktaha ye mam upasate te me yuktatamaha. This is the second verse. So, Bhagavan corrects Arjuna's first misconception. He did not say Arjuna was wrong, but his answer implied that Arjuna's question was wrong. You know why? How? Because any devotee is the best devotee. There is no degree of comparison. Who is the better? Who is the best? All devotees are equally great, equally tap Bhagavan's grace. Whichever is the level of the person, suppose the person who is still given to the life of Karma Yoga, order to prepare his mind for the vision of Bhagavan, he is also a devotee, real devotee, great devotee, no doubt. And we can say, Karma Yoga Pradhana Bhaktihi means bhakti predominantly in him of Karma Yoga. So Karma Yoga Pradhana Bhaktihi. Then there is upasanam. Upasanam also, then you can say upasana pradhana bhakti. Suppose a person is given to the shravanam, we can say shravana pradhana bhakti, amanana pradhana bhakti, nididhyasana pradhana bhakti. So bhakti is the same, doesn't matter whichever ashramadi person belongs to, whichever duty he is doing, and whichever karma he does also, the best of the devotees is the one who is committed to the Bhagavan. So, If you see, the one who is committed to the pursuit of knowledge of Bhagavan is the real devotee, then Karma Yogi is also the best, meditator is also the best, and also the person who is involved in studying the scriptures. He is also best of devotees. Only thing is, Bhagavan must be the goal, ultimate goal. Then all the devotees are equally great, equally important. So Krishna makes it. There is no taratamyam between the devotees. He is a better devotee. He is an inferior devotee. He is a superior devotee. There is no division. As long as a person is committed to the pursuit of jnanam and moksha is the ultimate goal, Bhagavan is the ultimate goal for him, then whether he is following karma yoga, whether he is given to the discipline of meditation, whether he is given to the discipline of contemplation, doesn't matter. All of them are real devotees. So Krishna says, yuktatamaha, these are the great, here the best of the best of the devotees, whoever have placed their mind in me. And if they have Shraddha, and if they are steadfast, and if they are committed to Bhagavan, if their mind is placed in Bhagavan, they are the best of the devotees. So, whether Saguna Brahma Upasanam is superior, Anirguna Brahma Upasanam is superior, which is best? Really speaking, we may think, Saguna Brahma Upasanam involves, Saguna Brahma Upasanam means you can pray to Bhagavan, you can worship Bhagavan, you can decorate Bhagavan, you can offer malas to Bhagavan, and you can make prasadam for Bhagavan, whatever you like to eat, and you can eat also later on after the puja. See, Saguna Brahma Upasanam is very desirable for people. Why? Very colorful. You can stitch dress for Bhagavan. You can put ornaments for Bhagavan. You can decorate Bhagavan. Sing in praise of Bhagavan. Jump also in front of Bhagavan. Many devotees, you can see this Radha can be very beautiful. They still jump and sing and dance also. So all these are variety. This is colorful. And many things. Hach devotion, Saguna Brahma Upasanam is always very interesting. And it also makes you feel emotional. It also moves the, it happens some emotional. Also, it makes you feel very good. So, Saguna Brahma Upasanam always is attractive for majority of the society. And what about the Nirguna Brahma? Nirguna Brahma Upasanam means just seeing Bhagavan's abstract nature. And which one must have studied Upanishads to understand Bhagavan's abstract nature. And then in the light of one's understanding of the Shastra teaching alone, one can dwell upon this Bhagavan's Rupam. On this name, but this abstract, super difficult also, such Bhagavan's Rupa meditation. So this is the Upasanam. Therefore, if suppose the best question comes also, we are not Arjuna. Definitely. Such a question is not correct question. It's an incorrect question. Incorrect, wrong. Expression of lack of understanding. The question itself is an expression of lack of understanding. Saguna Upasakaha, Nirguna Brahma Upasaka are equally important devotees. We can compare them. Comparing Saguna Upasaka, Nirguna Upasaka, their Upasaka is superior. Saguna Upasaka inferior, such an answer is wrong answer. make it a point to understand bhakta are not bad. In sense, whether person upati, whether this is a devotee. So because participants, the person to in keep mental condition. All three disciplines constitute three disciplines required on the part of a Brahma, any individual jnanam. Of them will go through disciplines ultimately for jnanam. We'll see Bhagavan's answer next class. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnamudaye Purnamiva Om Anti Shanti Kali Om Tat Sat Shri Rubhyo Namaha.